Yeah, Lori, you have some thoughts or comments on what we heard today, so go ahead. What do you, you can share whatever's on your mind.
I just happened to read a note that was in my Bible for years when Doug was in Luke 12, and then I have also to compare it with 1 Corinthians 16:13. Do you know, I can't remember what that says, Doug.
I'll look it up.
You want to read that first? 1 Corinthians 16:13, I'll look it up.
Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men and be strong.
That's it, yeah. Okay, be on the alert. So, in Luke 36 and following says, and be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding celebration so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. That's the second advent. Blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. All right, so my little note, and I wish that I would write who it is that says it, but I forget to do that. So this is an exhortation to vigilance. This exhortation to vigilance presupposes that Christians are always in danger of reducing their full commitment to God through Christ and of allowing themselves to be seized by things of lesser value. The focus can thus rest on the threatening danger or extend to the consequence of negligence or of not being prepared for the Son of Man. Isn't that a great quote?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just...
There are a number of exhortations like that, and as you were speaking, I was reminded of just another one in Luke, which I will read. It's at the end of Luke 21, which is it has the similar context, and this, of course, in Luke 21 is the temple discourse, which is the background for the Olivet discourse of Matthew 24 and Mark 13. And the primary emphasis on the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and the background is the second coming of Jesus. Then he moves from the temple to the Mount of Olives, and the foreground is the second coming of Jesus, second advent, and the background is the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So the emphasis shifts, but the content is related. When it comes to prophetic expectation, in view of the restoration of nation Israel, verse 29, behold the fig tree and all the trees, that is those nations that are contiguous to Israel that were have been restored from 1945 to 1950-51. They've all been restored as those contiguous nations to Israel. Israel is back in the land. They've come into a place of prophetic fulfillment, verse 29 and following. And you can know that the kingdom is near, verse 31. Truly I say to you, this generation that sees these signs will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard. Verse 34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. So he knew what he was talking about. But we need to ask ourselves, do we know what he knew he was saying? And only by the Spirit of God can he open our eyes to this. For it, this trap, will come upon all those who've settled down and made earth their home. Those are the earth dwellers. Those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about or destined to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So that's a very poignant word.
Of course, that's to Israel. But well, I couldn't let it pass because that, you know, other verse with Luke, you had already read it, but then I wanted to turn to it. So 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on the alert, and it says habitually. Apparently that's the verb, the tense of the verb. Habitually be on the alert. And that would be the opposite of settling down. you know, and being an earth dweller, that habitually be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. And I think that the King James says, quit yourself like a man, and that's always puzzling for us ladies. And then it says, be strong. But I have a note.
Yeah, these are present imperatives. Yeah.
Present imperatives, okay. Act like men means conduct oneself in a manly way. In a courageous way. And so because we as women are the weaker vessel, there are times in human history where a woman needs to not be like a man and not be masculine instead of feminine. That's not what Paul's saying. But I think the setting aside of our emotional makeup in times that call for us to be more objective than we ordinarily would be, because as women, we're very much responders, we're very much reactors, and we can get swept up in an emotional tide. But our, you know, our Apostle Paul says to act like men. And this is written to the whole church, not just to men. But then I find that the next verse is so beautiful, because Paul says, let all that you do be done in love. So while we're waiting, while we're on the alert, while we're standing firm in the faith, we put on that new nature, which is Christ. Because if you do, you can fulfill verse 13, and if it's with wrinkle, it would be with the old nature. Well, I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be that, and I'm going to do it, by golly. No, you have to put on love, which is the same as putting on Christ. Because otherwise you can do the opposite. You can run over people. You cannot consider where they are as younger brethren or whatever. But if we do all things in love, then we can fulfill verse 13. So Paul was just led by the Spirit of God to say, look, you can't even do verse 13 in the flesh. You've got to lay aside the old, because many people could just do verse 13 in the old. They have that kind of temperament, that kind of resolve. But no, all of it has to be done in Christ. That's a lesson for me. Okay.
Yeah, like I said in Colossians 3, love is the uniting bond of perfection. So that's what unites the trinity together.
Yeah, I was just thinking about these last articles that we've been reading on our own, the Lord's Assembly, and how applicable it was even for this message today, and reading around the cross. And so the cross, without everything you guys talked about, unless, you know, the way that Sparks put it was really good, because, you know, we think about it. It's, you know, he's talked about the octaves of the redemption, and we've heard that so many times, but for us as Christians, we start on the first day, after the day that God has worked. And so, right, and so as we start everything from that point where everything is completed, then that summarizes everything. God has already completed everything.
That's his Sabbath rest.
Yeah, so we don't have to go back to the New Testament completely, because Christ has already completed it. And that's our rest.
No, you said we don't have to go back to the New Testament. Did you
go back to the old? Did I say new? Oh, I thought I said old. Okay, yeah, it was Old Testament. So we don't have to live in that realm of the to try to complete or fulfill anything, because as we are operating through the cross in that realm, because that's the resurrection day. And it's like everything looked forward to the cross. Now we're looking back to the cross, and we're starting right at the cross. And, you know, this one chapter that I was reading even talks about even fellowship. Fellowship is even on that basis. And so I mean, we can't really have fellowship on the basis of any other thing. Otherwise, you know, we all get, I mean, we gotten so much here, you know, if we don't have love here, how can we express love outside? Because, you know, that verse that you said, love to the brethren and to all men, it's like, it's not just to the brethren, it's to everybody, to my neighbors, to those who are not Christians, it's to all men, it's to everybody, not just to someone, you know, who's been forgiven and sinned a million times over, but that just to us on the day-to-day, that's the hard part. It really is. That's a lot harder, because if we're not able to even, you know, like you said, it's impossible as a husband to love your wife. It takes Christ, and vice versa as a wife. I mean, I'm not speaking experientially. I'm speaking because I'm a woman. It's impossible for the wife to respect the man because of that which is in our old nature that rises up and says, I'm not going to have this man rule over me. You know?
I can do a better job, right?
Absolutely. Now that is me. And so
that's why you're not married. No.
That is why I'm not married. So there is that in us that we must live that every single day. And what is that? I think that's part of the blamelessness. And to be blameless, to be holy without, that's the wrinkle. And that is, and I appreciate you bringing into the dispensation of the mystery, and that I believe is true. But man, oh man, I am so accountable because I have heard over and over and over. And if I am not living in the good of it, then woe be to me, because I think Sparks addresses that to those who have been given so much light. It's a very, very fearful thing that if I am not walking in that light that God has given to me. And I've seen that here, witnessed it in front of my eyes, of people not living in the light and the tremendous darkness that comes in. It's a horrific thing. And so, I mean, how many of us, we go to other assemblies or we meet other people, and I can enjoy people on that very basis because they're living to the light that God has given to them. They're living it fully. Well, yeah, I know all the secret mysteries and all of that, but I'm a noisy gong. If I'm not living into that same measure of that which is given to me, then I'm nothing. I'm humbled every time I come into the presence of my dear little stepmom. She didn't know about the sacred figure and the mystery or nothing, but I tell you what, that woman is living in the life that God has given her. And so is my stepsister. They are living in that light. They really are.
Walking in obedience
to what they
know. It's faith and obedience.
It is. It's faith and obedience into what God has given them, and they are living in that. And there's fruit. And so I can really have fellowship and enjoy them, and we can enjoy each other on that basis. And it really is a marvelous thing. And so, anyway, that was, as you were talking today, I was thinking of just the Lord's Assembly that Sparks had been, where we'd been reading of late.
Well, we want to express our appreciation for those that are receiving some measure of ministry from the Lord. And we just request those who are have a prayer, ministry, and relationship with the Lord on behalf of the saints, that you'd remember us, because we have sickness here that is kind of entrenched, and we pray for God's grace to be multiplied to those that have had chronic illness, and that we might come into a discovery of the sanctification that we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, a spirit, soul, and body sanctification, holokleros, without blame, and that there is a whole dimension of resurrection reality for our mortal bodies that I believe the Lord wants to bring us into in these last days, that is more than just an act of healing. It is a release of the fullness and realization of what we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, that Paul was anticipating, and I think that's also related to his desire personally to attain exonostasis in Philippians 3:11. If you attain exonostasis, that is a moral and spiritual reflection and projection out of the resurrection of Jesus Christ mentioned in Philippians 3:10, there's the anastasis there, and then 3:11, exonostasis, that is a resurrection life and reality that represents a fulfillment and realization in our mortal body of that resurrection life that lifts us out from among the dead while still in a body. As he says, not that I've already attained this or reached this goal, verse 14 and following, that is perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. So if you pray for us, because there's always higher ground, and that we would discover the higher ground of grace and life as we move forward in our assembly. We have some work to do, and one of the saints are not with us, and moving towards a demonstrated love after there has been the proper revelation of repentance and that needs to occur. Some of you know what we're talking about, others do not, but you keep us in your prayers, because we are under constant assault because of our work with SRDID, and I think also because we aspire to a very high standard that's in Christ, and we want to represent that. So we really appreciate your prayers, and know that you're being prayed for, and knowing that we all have various tribulations. And just to remind you that in Acts chapter 14, after Paul was stoned at Lystra, he returns and goes back and sheer audacity and boldness, and reminding the saints that it's through many tribulations that we are, it's necessary for us to present tense be entering the kingdom of God. And Revelation 1:9, I, John, your fellow elder, not apostle, fellow brother, not apostle, not an elder, although he is all that, but speaking as a brother, I, your fellow brother, in the pressure, the tribulation, even kingdom, even endurance, which are in Jesus, was in the penal colony of Patmos. I was there in the day of the Lord, which in the Greek means Sunday. So Sunday, I believe, will be the day the Lord will choose for rapture. Which Sunday that is, we don't know, but just stand into to our prayers, and we appreciate your prayers for us, that God's grace would be released in such a way that there would be an overflow in our mortal bodies. We appreciate that. So blessings to you all.